This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
We've got the privilege this morning of having Frank Bauer with us from Lig en Lewe. Lewende Woord, sorry, Lewende Woord. I don't know, ek weet nie hoe dit is in Engels nie, Lewende Woord, jy moet maar sê. Yeah. Now Frank is an evangelist, and as you can see, I think he's just waiting. He can't wait to dig in. He can't wait. He's so fired up, and like every evangelist, they want to come in and they just want to lift the roof. And Frank, we trust the Lord for wisdom and for the words that the Lord laid in your mouth. And yeah. Yes, Lord, thank you for Frank. Lord, thank you for the word that you've got prepared for us. Lord, thank you for his heart. Lord, thank you that you gave him a gift. Lord, a gift that will change lives. Lord, that will speak into our hearts with his word and the word that you want to deposit into our hearts in this morning, Lord. Lord, thank you for his family. Lord, and we ask that you bless this morning. Holy Spirit, that you will keep us, our minds and our hearts and our ears captive in this morning. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Morning, thank you. Beforehand, my English is also like a battery. It runs out after a while. Okay? So, I can't say omen weer, because, and if I'm aggressive, it's because usually when I preach in English, it's crusade with like a thousand unbelievers. So, you have to shout for them to hear. So if I get aggressive, it's just because I'm not used to English before believers. Yes, like I said, my name is Frank. Die dametjie daar agter met die babetjie, that's my wife Nicole. Most people know she grew up in the Parel, so almal ken mekaar hierso. I didn't. She's holding our second one, Nia. She's 2 months now, and the first one is somewhere on the ground, lying down. Michal, he's almost 3 years now. So if I look tired, you know why. And I'm very excited because I'm allowed to read from the English Bible this morning. Because although I preach in Afrikaans, I read the English Bible. To me, it's a bit better. I don't know about you, the direct Afrikaans is difficult at times. So I go to the English, it's a study Bible, so it also helps with all the smart people giving their notes at the bottom. You can, I have slides. I might deviate from them. I don't know. I don't know if the PowerPoints will work. I don't know if the font, anything is correct. Just go with it. Those who've got Bibles can turn. Those who've got phones can scroll. Those who are prophetic, just listen. I'm excited. Where are all the students? Are they still here? Going to Egypt. Who of you have been in the field for a missions trip? Of the students, not the rest of you. Students, one. And you want to go to Egypt? Wow, that's gutsy. That's Paul right there. Wow, and the field. And I'm glad Jaco corrected himself. He said I'm a guest pastor. It's a pastoral season. I'm a missionary at calling. That's why I don't want to speak to the students, because I'm jealous. Because I have to stay behind and comfort people who lost their dogs and stuff like that. And you can go preach to the lost. But when it comes to Muslims in Egypt, the best way I found is you go straight to them, you tell them Muhammad's false. They get aggressive, you fight, they get hurt, you pray for healing, they see God works. It's easy. Just make sure you win the fight. I'm just joking. Please don't do that. We have seen amazing things in the field. Those who have not been there, the best part. Now, the question we get a lot, I get a lot, before I get into my sermon, especially you guys that's going, I really am jealous, because that is my heart, and that's the best part to be, is in the field. They always say, if you want to make an evangelist miserable, let him preach to people that are saved. And that's why I always struggle, but I'll try my best. Unbelievers are the best. To see God work in their lives, to see them change. So the one miracle I'll always remember And we've had the privilege of leading a lot of people to Christ over Africa. But it was actually in our church. It was a prophetic evening or something, I can't remember. And I've been saved like less than a year. I've met the Holy Spirit 2 months prior to this evening. I went on one outreach where we didn't do much. It was more like showing us the ropes, and we didn't do a lot. But I remember then this one guy in our church came to me and says, "Listen, I want to give my heart to Jesus." And I'm like, "Well, then do it. What do I have to do with it?" And somehow he thought I'm an evangelist. So that's where it started. So I said, "Okay, amen." But I remember they looked very, very dull. They just looked bad. The marriage was on the rocks, and it was going, they didn't have a good time. And the marriage was falling apart, the job was not working, nothing. And he comes to me, "I want to give my heart to Christ." I'm like, "Okay, I just follow the Lord's Prayer that you learn, you don't really know what you're doing." But he gave his life to Christ. And I remember the next Sunday, I will never forget this. They walk in, and I've never seen two people as beautiful as them. They changed in an instant. And I remember I looked at her. It wasn't the makeup. It wasn't his new clothes. Nothing. They just the glory of God on them. And I have the privilege of seeing that weekly. I work in Amstlof on Saturdays. Those who want to join, they've got small guns. You don't have to worry. The big guns are stored away. So I love working with the gangsters because I usually go to them and then they offer you any kind of drug. And I usually tell them, but then they come with, it's usually they start with weed. And then I just tell them, "Well, that's for girls. I don't do small stuff." And then you can see they're like, "What's got, okay, we've got stronger." Then they go up one level. I don't know what's next, cocaine, I'm not sure. And then the guy's like, and I'm like, I don't play with kids' toys. Please don't waste my time. And then they start going up until you get the big stuff. And then I ask them the big stuff, "Okay, how long are you high for? Because I want proper stuff." He says, "No, at least 4 hours." I'm like, "I'm permanently high." And now this guy wants to know what I'm talking about. I said, "No, I'm permanently high." He says, "I want some." I said, "Well, come. His name is Jesus." They usually start laughing, but it's an open door. We start preaching the word. And about the third or fourth week of going constantly, you see people start changing. Now I'm talking about gangsters. I'm talking about people in the Rastafarian belief. You name it. And they start changing. And then I go to this one old lady. It's usually the omas that are believers. And they usually just come out. When oma comes out, everyone walks away. The guy with the gun included. So I speak to this to oma, and she's a believer. And she said, 2 months since we started moving there. And we just go on Saturdays. Because I'm not released yet to do it every day. So every Saturday we go. And she said, the street's quieter. The violence is busy taking down. And we haven't led a lot of people to Christ. We've just come because what does Jesus say in the word? "I'm the light to this world. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who liveth through me. So wherever I go, the light of Christ goes. And wherever the light is, the darkness cannot overcome. So when I enter, the darkness must go." It's as easy as that. Where the light goes, the darkness, and the word overcome in the original Greek is overcome and understand. The darkness cannot understand the light of Christ in you. So wherever you go, darkness must flee. James 4 verse 6 to 8. Resist the devil and he must. He will. It's not a maybe, it's a promise. He will flee. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. So a lot of people come to us on and it's going to cost you. Guys that are going to Egypt, if you want to go that road, it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you your time, it's going to cost you money, it's going to cost you health, it's going to cost you sacrifice. Remember, I go for a week or two at most, and it costs me everything already. So if you want to go for 6 to plus, if you want to make that your life, read the story of Paul. It will cost you everything, but the crown of glory awaits those who go. Isaiah, both Romans 10 verse 15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news." You've got beautiful feet. If you want to, but now I want to encourage you, those of you that are going, why are you going? Ask yourself the question, why are you going? What is your purpose for going? Because a lot of people ask me, what's my purpose? I said, everyone's got the same purpose. He says, "No, I'm an evangelist." No, that's your calling. Your purpose was determined in Genesis 1. Genesis 3, excuse me. God created you in his image. That gives you purpose, that gives you value. So your purpose, all of us' purpose is one, and one purpose only, glorify God in everything you do. That is your purpose. I do it in a different way. I'm an evangelist, some people are pastors, whatever, but everything I do is to glorify God. So if you go in any mission trip to see God move, you've got the wrong purpose. You need to go to glorify God. If that means you're 6 weeks in Egypt without speaking to one person, but you're glorifying him, then that's fine. If you go to purpose, if you go to Egypt and you don't win one soul for Christ, but you glorified him in everything you do, you were successful. I'm an evangelist. I don't like people not accepting Christ. I cry for that. That's the only thing I want to do. I want to lead you to Christ. Okay, go to the pastor now. You're done. Job done. That's what we do. But my focus is obviously to win the soul, is to for them to meet Christ, for them to experience the fire of the Holy Spirit, for them to experience the power and the gifts and everything. But my sole purpose is, while I'm doing it, I'm glorifying God. Why do I say that? Because if your purpose is for, it doesn't matter what they do, you will not be offended. Because I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for God. But we go, we're trying to win souls. The souls are not being won. The power, I'm going for healing. The guy's not healed. I'm offended. Because I'm going for the healing, it didn't happen. I'm going for the miracle, it didn't happen. But if I go for God, I can't be offended. God is true, he's eternal. I can't be offended. I can't be hurt. I've lost people to death that I've personally prayed for. I'm the only one that prayed for them, which makes it worse. They're in hospital, they've got stage 4 cancer, or I think the worst for me was a 24-year-old. I'm still in the good part of 30, just by the way, 29. Knees are still fine. I pray for a young guy. He was in Boys. Those who in Paddle were seen in the news. 24 years old. He was in a car accident. And I don't believe in coincidences, but this was a God incident, because I was in the hospital for my wife's grandfather who had cancer. And my mother-in-law also likes to speak to everyone. But what she does and what my wife likes to do, they speak to him. Okay, Frank, come pray. And I'm not even part of the conversation. So she meets this group of people, and they are here for this 24-year-old that is in a car accident. He only broke his right forearm. That's it. But the impact caused a rupture in one of the veins going to the brain. So he had a blood clot go up, ICU. Now, the worst part is I'm standing next to him. Now this is now the man of God or something that arrived, because she testifies about all the healings that we've seen through our ministry. And now I'm coming. I'm going to pray for this boy. Guy, and I'm like, I'm excited because this guy is going to stand up. And you can just feel the Holy Spirit. You can feel. And the worst part is there's a girl next to me, and they weren't going to get engaged 2 weeks after this incident, or about a week and a half after that day. So she's standing, everyone's excited. And the 2 days after, they phoned me, he just died. And I'm the only one that prayed for him, well, apart from the family. And I've testified about that being healed since we started praying for people 3-4 years ago. We've seen things happen. I've seen the rain in the road open up like a curtain so we can drive through. I've seen the food multiply. I'm just short of dead raising at the moment. I can't wait to see that. I prayed for a guy in the street. He was killed, car accident, like 5 minutes prior to me coming there. So I turned around, I started praying for him, but he was already stiff. And I don't want to disrespect him. I think his girlfriend was the one standing there. So I kept the blanket over him, but I held his hand. I started praying. It was tongues. I was prophesying. I was pleading. It was everything. How do you pray for the dead? I don't know. I just started everything. And this one moment, a breeze came, and it lifted the blanket. I almost passed out. I thought this guy's standing up. But I'm going for it. But I want to encourage you. I don't do it. Yes, I want to see it, but I don't do it for that reason. I do it to glorify God. Because when it does not happen, I can still be encouraged, because it's not in my hands to pray for the sick. I'm just the tool. God's the one that heals. But you need, it's going to take your sacrifice. Yesterday, what's today? Sunday. Friday night, we had a long day, and I've got 2.5 and it's 4 months, so the timing's different, because as soon as you bathe the one and fed the one, you go into the next phase, and then at 10 o'clock, you're like, oh, we're going to have some coffee. Out. Now one of the ladies in our church's boyfriend is in hospital because a rock fell in his foot, and they're going to cut off his toe. They're going, because there's no blood flow. I'm like, then you drive all the way to Panorama, but I can't wait to see this. So we pray for him, and the best part is the next, because the whole room knows they're going to amputate the toe. And I'm like, it's just the toe, buddy. Come on, it's not your foot. Why do I have to drive all the way there? You can still run, right? They want to amputate it. It's black. It's cold. So the next morning she WhatsApps me at 8 o'clock. He's leaving, he's going home. He's not waiting until the time. They said he's going to wait until Sunday. No, he's going home. The whole room is shocked because they heard it. They heard the doctor say we're going to amputate your toe. About, 5 months prior to this, I prayed for a lady. She had gangrene. They wanted to amputate the whole left leg. So I said, okay, let's pray. I came back the next week. No, we're only going to do the foot. I said, okay, let's pray again. Next week, no, we're only going to do the toe. The week after that, she walked out. And we can all do that. I'll get you fired up, don't worry. But we're talking about the promise of God. I forgot what we're talking about. Go to Hebrews 11, 17 to 19. I want to tell you this story. There's a guy, he lives in Australia, and he decided one day, one morning he woke up, his whole family, he has a big family, lots of possessions, he's happy, he's favored, he's blessed, and he decides, I'm done, I want to leave. And he leaves to a new country he doesn't know. Just leaves to a new country, goes, bye. Who would agree with me that's not a wise decision? That's pretty stupid. But now, what's the difference between that story and that of Abraham? It's exactly the same story with one difference. With Abraham, God told him, go. It's the same instance. He left everything. He took what he had and he said, leaving. Do you understand? He was fine. He was favored, he was blessed, he was comfortable. God said, go. That's the difference between the two. When God says, you go. Because when he says, he is faithful. If you read Hebrews 11, 17 to 19, says, by faith, Abram, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. I think I stopped there. I want you to understand this, the promises of God. Let's speak about that before I get wound up again. You must realize he did not offer up just his son. Why? He can get another one. I'm not insensitive, but God can provide another son. He was giving up his promise. He was giving up the very reason he left in the first place. Think about that. He did not give up just his son. He gave up his promise. He gave up everything. He was dead almost. Sarah was almost dead and she conceived the son. Now, who of you got children? Picture being 90 years old and your baby crying 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, he was almost dead. I mean, I'm struggling and we're still fit. He was not giving up his son only. He was giving up his promise. Think about that. God calls you all the way to Egypt. Let's take you guys all the way to Egypt. This is your promise. You're going to take the land of Egypt back in the name of Jesus. You're going to win over every Muslim. Here's your ministry. Here's your people. Go. When you get there, God says, sacrifice everything, come back. Leave everything. Giving up your promise. The promise of God. But now look what Abram does. So I'm not just sacrificing my son. That's not... I've got another one. Ishmael. I'll just make some more. I'm giving up the very promise God gave me. I promised your offspring. I promised you the world. Sacrifice it. And Abram comes. He's so faithful. He's got so much faith in God. He says, well, your promises are true, which means you either raise this boy from the dead or I get another promise. But the promise of God will stand. Whether it's through this son being raised or through another one, the promise of God will stand. So I will go through with God's command. Think about that. I usually use it as evangelism tool. Also, I said, I tell the guys, who of you, you know I'm righteous. I can testify with my people. I don't do anything. I love people. I'm a pastor. All that stuff. Will you kill your son for me? And they would say, no. Well, who of you? Be from your lesson. Think about it. Who of you will kill your son for your pastor, which you know? Yet God did that. I tell them, yet God killed his only son with the knowing that you will not accept him. He knew exactly who will accept Christ and who will not, yet he still killed him. We will go, okay, I'm going to kill him because of these people. The rest of you are screwed because I know who's going to accept him. No, for every single person. Why? Because God promised it back in Genesis. Go read Genesis 2 where the snake or whatever, the serpent comes. The first prophecy of Jesus in Genesis 2. Did you know that? He tells the wife, there will be enmity between your seed and his seed. Women don't have seed except one, Mary. It's the only woman that had seed, Jesus Christ. He says, and he will bruise your head and you will bruise his heel. There already God promised the Messiah. And he came with the knowing that people will not accept him. People will reject him. Knowing that we as believers will still doubt in his power. The promises of God are true. Psalm 138 verse 1 to 2. Can I read it here because my Bible's slow? That's a good thing about the cell phone. You can just like scroll it. 138 verse 2. Listen to this. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. His name and his word, he exalted above everything. The word that he speaks, both Rhema and Logos, spoken and incarnated word, Jesus Christ, is above everything. So when God promises, it is above everything. I like this little section. I mean, over here. I'm just going to look at this one. One of my favorite. Go to Revelation. I'm not going to go end times now. Don't worry. Just like a side note. You know what irritates me about people that keep on studying the end times? They forget about the now. Yeah. You're so worried about what happened. You're not going to be here. Why don't you just get more people with you that are also not going to be here? But now we're worried about pre, post, what millennial... Preach Jesus, that's what the word says. Then I saw heaven open. Okay, well that, firstly, is amazing. Who has had an open vision before? Well, me neither. It would be awesome though, eh? Those who don't believe it, don't worry. Then I saw an open heaven, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. He's called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. On his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he's called is the Word of God. I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, John 1 verse 14, and the Word became flesh. You know, listen to this. The Word became flesh. I am the light to this world. Jesus' own words. I am the light to this world. Now that light is the same light God spoke. Genesis 1 verse 1. Let there be light. But he only created the sun in the 14th verse. He spoke light before the sun was created. So the Word of God is light. When you speak it, there's light. When you live it, there's light. And the darkness cannot overcome it. Are you hearing? Are you excited? Are we going to go evangelize quickly? Some people are scared. Verse 16. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I thought, well, if he has it on his thigh, I can have it on my arm. Picture this. I'm from a strictly Afrikaans background. Gereformeerde kerk, very strict church. But awesome. That's why I got my word foundation. That's why I learned the Bible. But now I think lots of times the dominie in front is far less strict than your parents sitting next to you, because you're not allowed doing this in church. Meanwhile he's doing it, but we're not allowed doing it. Now think about that. I've got an engineering degree, so I live the strict Afrikaans background. Blessed, I was blessed as a child. My parents love me. I love them. But now this strict background. Now I come to them one day. Listen, I know I've got this engineering degree, but I'm going to become a missionary. I'm sorry. I mean, about that was in 2016, 15, end of 2015. 3 months later, we announced to them, with no money, no house, no car, we're pregnant. And then a year after that, I got my first tattoo. And then I didn't tell them about the second one until they saw it. So I've got all these things counting against me, and now I'm supposed to be a missionary. And now I tell them, listen, I'm going to leave my wife and kids at home because I'm going to Africa every 6 weeks. Oh, and by the way, yeah, there are vampires there. There are. Really, there are. And they do it's in the bush, there's no signal. You must see my parents. You must see her parents. It's quite funny. And then you must see their face when you come back and say, listen, I looked at a guy in his eye. His eyes were as white as that wall. And in an instant, God brought the color back. He could see again. I come to him and I said, listen, there was no food. There was too little. They prepared for 150 people. There were 250. And we had left over. And then the eyes started. And then you tell them again, well, we went over the Zambezi with the crocodiles and the hippos. And then we go back to the beginning. I said, but God healed the blind. God healed the sick. He healed the deaf. Everyone is healed. And like, oh. And then you tell them, listen, look at this photo. There's 1,500 people in front of me. Oh, awesome. I said, they all accepted Jesus. How about that? Every demon left. Every sickness left. And then, you see why I'm so jealous? You're going to see that. It's the most amazing thing ever. Who has been into Africa at night? Okay? It's dark. Right? And then, we didn't have that. We've got a proper system now, but at that time, we didn't have the big lights. We had to use the cars. But it's just 1,500 black faces. And as soon as you say you want to accept Jesus, you just see them smile. Literally, you see them light up. You don't need the sun. You need a light. You don't need anything. You see them light up. They run to the front with their hands and say, I want to accept Jesus, because you've just testified. You've just shown them the movie of Jesus. You've preached the word. They run to him, fall on their knees and accept Jesus. I mean, come on. That's life. Who does not want to do that? Sorry. Go back. I am the King of Kings and the Lord. Remember, Revelation was, who spoke Revelation to John? Jesus is, I am the King of Kings and I'm the Lord of Lords. Matthew 28:19-20. Go to all nations, preach the gospel. And what does verse 20 say? Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the next one, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always until the end of the age. Remember, as soon as a command of God is repeated, both Old and New Testament, it's eternal. Okay? That's why it doesn't speak about the tattoos and the earrings and everything again, because that's part of the law, it's gone. But he says to Joshua, I'll be with you, I'll never forsake you. He says to Abram, I'll be with you, I'll never forsake you. He repeats his word to his disciples, I'll be with you until the end of the age. Now, let's talk about it logically. If you believe God created the heavens and the earth, then we are worshiping a powerful God. Amen? I know we cannot fathom, we cannot understand the power, but we can admit that it must be a great power creating that by speaking. Right? You agree with that? Now, that very same God says, I will be with you till the end of the age. Why do we still doubt? Why are we still scared? He said, I'll be with you. Every one of his promises so far have come true. He has not lied once. He has not failed once. In Matthew 6, I think, I didn't put it on, I apologize. It says, a God cannot lie. It says that he made a promise because he couldn't promise above anything higher than himself. He promised on his own name to Abraham, by myself, because there's no one higher. I promise by myself, because you make an oath at something higher than yourself. I make a promise for myself, I will multiply you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the best part is, Abraham never saw his promise. He never saw it. But he counted his promise so faithful that he would kill his own son for God. And he knew that God's promises are true. So if he knew it, and he's called the father of faith, he didn't even have the Holy Spirit. You've got God in you. We've got God in us. Same Spirit that drove Jesus from the dead is in me. Why do we still doubt? Why do we still doubt? Why is it that we stand before, I don't know who of you like speaking to random people, but if I stand before this person, why do I struggle telling him about Jesus? Because God says that you must love your neighbor as yourself. Agree? Love God first, and the second, equal to this, love your neighbor, love everyone. But he also says in his word that if you do not love, you do not know God, because God is love. So if God is love and I am to love, I have to give God. Isn't that logical? Is that, that's logically, if God is love and I have to love, then I have to give them God. So if I do not give God, I don't love. So if I stand before a person, I don't give them, I don't either find out whether they're saved, and if they're saved, bless them, I'm not loving them. Because I'm not giving God. I'm not giving God the situation right now. This is not evangelistic. This is 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18. We've all been called for the ministry of reconciliation. Everyone that is a new creation in Christ has been called to a ministry of reconciliation. Whether you're in the ministry full-time as a worker or whether you're in the workplace, it doesn't matter. Your job, glorify God, reconcile people to God. Remind them that His promises are true. Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20. His promises are yes and amen. Gerard says I can preach till 2 o'clock. Is that fine? He comes to me. He says, Frank, are we ready for the revival? I said, well, me too. I don't know who's going to bring it. But I'm part of it. But if you look at Psalm 138, His word is above His name. Revelation 19 verse 11, He is faithful. He's the one that's called faithful. He's true. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He cannot lie. He's the yes and amen. That's God's part. Think about it. That's His responsibility. What is ours? Matthew 28 verse 19, go and make disciples of all nations. Preach the gospel. Raise the sick. Raise the dead. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. I just want the dead now. I've done those three. And I love it. Have you seen a demon run? Who has? It's fun. So my favorite hobby is to go against the religious spirit. That's why the tattoo and all the weird stuff. Because I want to see where the religious spirit comes up, because he's destroying Christians. I don't like religion. I prefer relationship. I don't know about you. But the religious spirit is very strong in any battle. That's why I love this B2G. Bride together. Yeah. I love it. I didn't want to come to the battle because I don't like rich, snobbish people. That's what I thought. That's who I met. The battle men said it was all rich and they were snobbish and they drove their VX cruisers and they don't look at you, that kind of people. So I don't want to come here. And they tricked me. Because I'm a leader, they said, I'll plant the church. After a year, the shepherds will be there. You can go. It's been 2 years now. But I've signed, I can't leave the sheep now. That's tricking you. Be careful, students. They trick you. But I come in here and I find family. It's amazing. And our family. And then Brent invites us to the B2G first meeting with him. And I'm amazed. I am astonished. Because a year before that, the Lord started speaking to me about the body of Christ. And I started asking questions. Why are churches separated? Why aren't... I understand different denominations. I understand different churches. By all means, stay there. But why aren't we linking up? Why aren't... And then we come to this, and I'm totally floored at the unity between those pastors. I was amazed. It was the best. It's the best meeting ever. Sitting, and this is what it's all about. We sit there, we speak, we laugh about nonsense, and we speak about none of us knowing what we are doing. We are just going with the flow. Don't tell our congregations we don't know what we're doing. You know, just fake it till you make it type of thing. And I'm the youngest, and they're all speaking about their children in school and going on a sabbatical. And I'm like, I only have one child at the moment. I'm young, and there's generals of faith sitting there, and we're having fun. And then, luckily, it's not a stereotype, but all the white guys in that group can't sing. Right? Let's just be honest, they can't. But we've got Jerome and Alistair, these are the two colored guys, and they can sing. And they start worshiping. I've never, because we are scared to sing. Please don't make me sing before people. What God are we worshiping then? Yeah. David was half naked. Think about that. When I'm at our church preaching, I tell the guys, you can't lift your hands. I was there, don't worry. What God are you worshiping that you can't exalt before people? Did Jesus not say, if you are ashamed before people, I will be ashamed before my Father? Think about that. Now we are believers. Everyone's supposed to believe the same thing. Paul says, lift up holy hands wherever you are. It's in the Bible. Orderly worship is lifting up holy hands, praising the God, not caring about my voice or about the person next to me. I'm speaking to God. Right? I started learning, what's a quarter? Keys. I've got no musical note in me. Okay? So I started, because I found that we are worshiping and the song becomes the worship and not the one, right? We've got no longer a slave to fear. I told the people, do you know what you're singing? Because you're singing it, but you're afraid. So it's just another nice song, because the worship band is awesome. You guys are awesome, by the way. You've got this nice rhythm going, or the goodness of God. But, you know, Beth, have you heard the lyrics? Have you listened to what the guys are singing? I will give you everything. I said, really? Are you giving him everything? Because you just sang that song. And I started realizing that we are just singing because it's a nice song. And you'll see that in Afrikaans church, I promise you. If it's a goodness of God, they'll be like this. When it's no longer slaves, they know it. Hands up. Afrikaans and Likie, they go all out. English song, like this. And they start only sing the songs they know. And I realized that we are doing it. It's becoming just a song. It's not worship. So I said, okay, Lord, teach me some keys. And all I want to do, I just want to make a note and I want to sing. I want to worship you in spirit and truth, like the word said. Worship him in spirit and truth. And I want to be holy, for you are holy. That's the word, Leviticus and in Hebrews. Be holy, okay, and Peter, be holy, for I am holy. So I said, Lord, okay, I want to learn just a few. I started, I think it was C, G, and F. Whatever. You know, and then they start with the pluses and the minuses, and then I'm confused. So, but it was amazing. So I thought, okay, Lord, I want to worship in spirit and truth. I want to get to know you. It's about intimacy, right? So, let's side note quickly. If you want to see God move, people ask, why do certain men see these miracles? Why do certain men see this glory of God? Let's go look at the life of Jesus. The Hebrew community, the day started about 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. That's where the day in the Jewish community started. They would go to the marketplace, right? The Bible says Jesus rose before the day started and he spent time with his Father. He spent time about 3 or 4 hours in the presence of God, obviously just saying words, things will happen, because he's been in the presence for four hours. Why does Bethel have an anointing on their music? Because Jeremy Riddle is up 4 a.m, started warming up his voice. The people of God that see miracles spend time with him every single day. So I asked my congregation, how many hours of prayer did you put in this week? How many hours in the word did you put in this week? How many hours of preaching the word did you put in this week? And they all like sit back. I said, that's why you're not seeing the glory of God. Because we are in the fast-moving consumable industry. The McDonald's faith, right? I paid for it, now it has to come out. Let me just not wait longer than 5 minutes for my burger. Okay? I cannot wait for this miracle more than 5 minutes. That's where we are at. But the guys who see the glory of God are the guys who put in the time. They worship God from morning. Have you heard of David Hogan? His ministry has raised more than 600 people from the dead. Him personally, 37. Okay? He fasts 7 out of the 12 months a year, if you take the time. He wakes up 4 o'clock in the morning, he blows his shofar. Doesn't matter if you're sleeping. You can go back to sleep, but he blows the shofar. And he spends time with God about 2 or 3 hours. And none of the people in his house are allowed to greet each other if they have not spent 1 hour in God's presence. You greet him first, then you come greet me. But that's why they see glory. They see angels playing instruments. They've seen the Shekinah glory come in the village where 3 villages next to each other have been wiped down in the spirit. They can't move. And they prophesy like they speak of Saul. As he entered the presence, he started prophesying. They see that stuff. Why? Because the presence of God is more important than the rest. Why? Because God said, I'm with you. That guy's not scared. Why? He says, because the Bible said God's with me, so his promise must be true. I'm going. He said, they ask him, how did you know you have to go there? Well, I asked God, he didn't answer, so I assumed it's yes. I like that. I assumed it's yes, so I'm going. So I tell the guys, just assume it's yes until the Holy Spirit stops you. But go. I lost my point. Go. Go and just make disciples. Our purpose, Matthew 6:33, is probably my favorite. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I think I put in the Greek there. Basileia, especially refers to the rule of Christ in a believer's heart. Seek first the kingdom of God in your heart, and everything will follow. He speaks there about provision, both financially, emotionally, all that stuff. He says that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, righteousness is holy, sanctification, integrity, nobility, humility. everything that's good is encapsulated in the word righteousness. He says, if you seek my kingdom, the kingdom of God, Jesus himself, where he sits at the right hand of power, if you seek that in your life, in everything you do, he will sort out the rest. I always say God is not a very good businessman. Because I have to do one thing and that's search his presence and he will do the rest. Wherever we have lacked, if we are really lacking, it's because I'm not seeking God. But when we are seeking God, if we're lacking, we're not really lacking because God provides everything. Oh, I've given away a car, I've given all that stuff, and he always provides because I'm in his presence. And when I get hurt, most of the time, I say, Lord, did I miss your presence? Did I seek something above, which is not your kingdom? That's why Paul can say, through Christ, I can do anything. He wrote that from prison. So physically, he was abused, he was persecuted, but why can he say that I'm always joyful, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Why? Because one thing, he sought the presence of God above all else. And all that comes back to what? God's promises are true. God's promise is twofold. Number one, it's his part or your part. His part, he gives the promise, means it's faithful. Your part, go do it. It's as easy as that. And not just that, he says, go do it, but I will do it for you. Doesn't make sense. You just go. I'll speak. The Holy Spirit will teach you all truth. He will show you Jesus. He will reveal Jesus. So I just need to spend time in the Word. And he will reveal it. That he does everything for you. I will heal. Just place your hand on him. I will raise him. Just place your hand on him. I will speak to him. You just prophesy. Just say what I say and I will prophesy over you. By the way, is there a Willem here? I keep hearing the word Willem 34. If anyone knows a Willem that's either 34 years old or lives in the number 34, phone me. I don't know what why, but I keep hearing Willem. Willem, come out, please. Have you ever given someone a word like, I feel the Lord says Proverbs 37 verse 14, and then Proverbs stops at 31? Have you done that? I've done that. I like, Proverbs 37, and it's like, it stops at 31. I'm like, okay, what's after Proverbs? Just add 6. You make mistakes, but you know, the best part is when you go for it, it gets better. It really gets better. I mean, I've prayed for headaches, they get worse. I prayed for a guy in our church, he's the drummer. I won't pray for the drummer, don't worry. And they phoned us, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, but well, no, what happened is his wife and Nicole were pregnant at the same time. The babies are 3 days apart. So they're on WhatsApp chatting at 2 o'clock in the morning because they're awake anyway. And she says, no, well, he just got this massive headache. So I go to him in the morning, I pray for him, God heals the headache. And that morning when they're chatting again, he's in hospital. What's brain fish on second? Meningitis, yes? And I thought, I'm not going to go pray again, he might just die. And we've lost the dead. I've seen all that stuff. But the continuous breakthrough of God's promise of truth, God says, I want to heal. Don't put your timeline on it. So the problem we have with God's promises, we put our timing on it. We put our boundaries on it. It has to happen now. Why? He never says, I'm going to heal him. No, he says, I want to heal him. I want to raise him. I, not you, I. Just be the mouthpiece. Whether it's through me or not, I'm going to be obedient. God's promise or two. If you want to talk about obedience, I'm standing before a guy. He's almost totally blind. He can only see there. Right? And I feel God says, because now we're praying and it's improving a little, but we're not getting breakthrough. And God says, let him wash his eyes 7 times. But that's just weird because you don't want to doctrinize everything. You know, you're not going to go spit in the sand for every person that's blind like Jesus did. Or go wash yourself 7 times. Or I've slapped a guy before because God said so. But you have to be careful. Because if you miss that one, you might end up in a hospital. So he washes his eyes 7 times and it's instantaneously his eyes open. And I'm more shocked at the 7 times than the eyes. I'm like, hey, this has worked. But what do we do? Because we've seen that now we could do the 7 times again. Because God's promise is that I will heal. So if I do this, it will happen. Or best part, why don't people sow anymore into the ministry? Because I'm not getting interest on my balachim. No? I'm sowing, I'm not getting anything back. I've seen so many people. I'll give money to the church and this, that, and this happened. I'm not giving anymore. I said, who did you give to in the first place? To the church or to God? I don't want to give God a tenth of my money. You're not giving God a tenth of your money. You're giving a tenth of his money. It's not yours. It's his. I don't want to give God my time. This is your, it's not your time. It's his. You can die right now. He can take his time away if he wants to. I'm not sacrificing my wife and my son. It's his first. It's hard. It's nie lekker nie. Because every time I go, something happens at home. Either someone drives into her, either the baby gets sick, or I forget to cut the grass, or they want to fine me because it's weird. And we have to fight this, but God said go, and I will do these things, and I just need to be obedient to the promise and know that his promises are true. It will happen because he said so. I can fall, God cannot. I can promise you and I can fail you and I can hurt you. God cannot. Do you understand what I'm saying? He says, yes, hoe ver gaan ons gaan? Nee, I will end because we have to go baptize people. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. You shall not live by bread alone, but on every word. Ja, jy kan opkom. Ja, of speel ietsie. And then we pray for people. Kan ons dit doen? Okay. Are we going to move in the spirit? How about that? You want to do that?
Yes.
Prophesy, healing the sick, all that lack of stuff. Glorify God. Okay, so let's go. So we understand God's promises are true. What he says, let me explain it this way. Everything, if you look at nature, let's forget the spiritual part. If you look at nature, everything's got a purpose. It's working towards a goal. Amen. They've got a lifespan, and it's a purpose. So I say, if nature, with no soul or spirit, has a purpose, if everything, I don't build a car just to build, I build it to drive it, it has a purpose, then everything God says must have a purpose. Amen? So if he speaks something, there must be something done. He's not going to speak something in vain, because he's God, he's not a human being. He doesn't speak in vain. So if he promises us something, then it must be true. Because he's got a purpose for what he's... The Bible says his words do not come back void. Now, there's people... I feel in my spirit while we were praying is that there are a few people here that's like Nehemiah. They have to build and fight at the same time. The story for Nehemiah is he was rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. But while they're building, you can read, they're building with the one hand and they're fighting with the other. Because now the enemy comes back, but I have to build the wall. Now I feel there's people here that's in that kind of situation where you're fighting in the spirit, but you have to build your business or your home, whatever you're building, and you're fighting at the same time, and it makes you tired. And if you can identify with that, I want to ask you to stand so we can pray for that. If you're identifying with that, where you fight on the one side, and you have to build on the other side, and you are just tired, amen? Lekker. Ek love Shofar. Julle is regtig awesome mense. I had the privilege of preaching in Shofar Wellington, some crazy people that side. I love it. They only called me up at 10:45. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to preach now because it's 10:45 and Afrikaanse kerk hier gaan. My hoender raak koud. Okay. If there's any new people there, ingegaste, who's here for the first time? Please assess the church on the third preach, not now. Okay? Come back when Oom Gerard is here. Please, don't leave now because of me. Don't let him phone me. Okay? There's one thing I want to forget. The leaders and the people in the church, I want to honor you and I want to thank you for supporting that couple in their time of need. I want to thank you for standing by Oom Gerard with the loss of their son. I had the privilege of being at the funeral to support him. And I told my wife afterwards, I was amazed that I knew everything about the son by just listening to the testimonies of people there. I said, I want my funeral like that. I want people to testify about me like that. I could not know him, but just the people talking about him and how he loves Christ, I was amazing. And to see his parents stand up there and speak, I would die. And I want to honor you for supporting them through that. I really, really appreciate it as a body of Christ. For supporting, because I haven't seen someone go through like that so positively and so uplifting and still love God so much. in a it's amazing, like woman right, Tanya. That, yes, he's the one. He lifts us up in when he comes into that room, and I was amazed. So thank you for that. And I want to keep on pressing in for him. Keep on lifting them up. Because God's got a purpose on that. God's got a purpose on your life. I really prophesied this morning intercession, but I'm really prophesying this, that in a year from now, you need a new building. God will burst you out your seams. But are you seeking the kingdom first? It's not about numbers, it's about quality. If you seek the kingdom, this building is too small. Because God's got a purpose for all of you. Because the Nehemiah people are standing. I love you. Well done. Keep on fighting, keep on building. And there's a second one God's going to remind me of. But let's pray for you first. Lord, I want to bless every single person standing here this morning, Lord, that has to fight with the one hand and build with the other. Lord, we get tired. But I want to remind them that Nehemiah built that wall in a record time because he was obedient. And though it is hard, Lord, I prophesy and I proclaim a perseverance over them that they have never felt before. And Holy Spirit, as they are standing, they are acknowledging that they can get tired. They are acknowledging that it's difficult. But they're also acknowledging that Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I want to release your fire into their spirit, Lord. Like Jeremiah, that as soon as they want to stop preaching, a fire consumes them within their bones and they cannot but just preach the Word of God. So Lord, bless them in Jesus' name with strength, with courage to keep on fighting this fight. I really feel that your time is near. It's not going to be long, but keep on fighting the good fight. So Lord, bless them with your presence, with your peace and your power. Let Christ, who is sitting on the right hand of power, let the creative power of God consume them right now. Let the fire of God touch them right now. Ignite in their spirit the passion to go again, the passion to keep on fighting the good fight, to fight for the crown of glory that's stored up in heaven for them. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, Paul says that no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. He is entangled in that which glorifies the one who enlisted him. So, Lord, we've got a warrior standing right now. Remind them they are fighting for the one who enlisted them, which is Jesus Christ. They are fighting for him. They are building for him. And I declare a glory on both sides. While they are fighting, they will win. While they are building, it will be a glorious temple they are building. Whatever it is they are building, it will be to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you that you are here, that you are King of Kings and Lord, that you are in control. I pray that you touch their hearts right now, that you would reveal to them how lovely they are, how valued they are, how loved they are. Lord, release your presence into their lives in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And then I want to call out, I want to do what I always do, and I love most. I want to invite two groups to stand up. If you have not fully committed your life to Christ, if you have not fully committed every single, God doesn't want a room in your house, He wants the house. He wants to make you a temple of the Holy Spirit. If you have not fully committed every single fiber of your being to Christ, I want you to stand. And if you just need a fresh oomph, I also want you to stand. If you need a fresh, let's call it fire, I want you to stand. You know why you're standing. I'm not going to call you out. So we had a conference in April, Jeff Jansen, April. That's a crazy dude right there. He is a prophet. They see heaven in everything. They look at you, they see something, all right? And then we had what we call a fire tunnel. So basically, it's just people standing in a tunnel, and as you come through, we just lay hands and we pray. And the glory of God fell on that place. People started. So as they exit the tunnel, I was at the end. And I call it the holy slipstream of the prophet, because God used him. So I just stood in the stream. And every time I touched someone, they would just go to the ground laughing. They were just a joy. So I had fun. I started having some fun. I'm going to test this. And what happened was, I'm just like, release your fire. Bam, release your fire. And everything goes. People got healed. People prophesied. They just felt the glory of God. But what happened a week after that, I'm preaching in my church. And this couple asks a question to one of our leaders. She said, "Now let me go speak to Frank." She says, "Who's Frank?" She says, "The guy that preached." I says, "Oh, he was the one in the tunnel. We call him Firefire." So I'm like, I own that. That's my new name. But I want to release a fresh fire, a fresh Holy Spirit breath into you. So those who are standing, lift your hands. But remember, it doesn't matter what I pray. If your heart's not receptive, if you don't receive, if you don't trust the promise of God, He says, "I will send someone exactly like me." Not maybe exactly. The Holy Spirit is exactly like Jesus, which is the light of the world. He is the Word. He says, "I will send the Holy Spirit." He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So Lord, Holy Spirit, release a fresh fire into their spirits right now in Jesus' name. A fresh fire into the spirit. Let the passion consume them to preach the gospel. Lord, release a new desire to see the glory of God manifest in their lives right now. Wherever they go, I prophesy the glory of God will come. Wherever they put their foot, they will own that piece of ground in the name of Jesus. Whatever they touch will receive the glory of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are touching them right now. Do exactly as you wish, because you are in control. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, shit, Abba. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Release your fire. Thank you, Lord, that I can see broken hearts mended. I can see emotional pain just being torn off them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If you've got physical pain, I'll test it right now. I feel God wants to heal everything. If you've got physical pain, test it. God, thank you for your healing. Thank you for your healing. I see a new prophetic anointing on some. Where when you speak, it will just be words of God. You don't even realize you're just preaching the word of God. You are just loving people when you start prophesying. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Everyone whose hands up, raise them high. Come on, be angry. Raise high. Lift up holy hands like Paul said. Thank you, Lord. Right now, just ignite a new knowledge of Christ in them. Release that fire, that passion, that desire to see the glory, to see intimacy into their lives right now in the name of Jesus. Every hand raised will see the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.